Montana talks here. Live and local. This is Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
This is where Montana talks. Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
All right. We do now have the legislative update from the Montana Family Foundation in hand. Yeah, every day at 6:50 we try to run that report. But here you go. Here's our friend Jeff Lasloffy with the Montana Family Foundation.
Montana's respect, devotion, and desire to be blessed by God will be on full display in the Capitol Rotunda tomorrow morning as Montanans from across the state gather for the Governor's Prayer event. What began as the Governor's Prayer Breakfast and was celebrated for decades was put on hold when Governor Judy Martz left office 20 years ago. Governor Brian Schweitzer put an end to the event, and Governor Steve Bullock followed suit. It was not until Governor Gian Forte took office in 2021 that the event resumed, albeit in a different format. Past prayer breakfasts were held off campus at places like Carroll College and were usually held on Saturday. Governor Gian Forte brought prayer and praise back into the Capitol itself in a very public service attended by elected officials, department heads, legislators, and the general public. After a 16-year hiatus, it's wonderful to hear the God of all creation being praised and worshipped in the rich acoustic setting of the Capitol Rotunda. But what about the separation of church and state? Isn't this a tacit endorsement of religion? Isn't it somehow unconstitutional? The simple answer is no, although some have tried to make that case. As hard as some have tried to erase America's Christian heritage, it's at our own peril that we allow them to succeed. America was founded as a Christian nation. The United States Supreme Court said so in the case of Church of the Holy Trinity versus United States. In that decision, Justice David Brewer stated that the historical record overwhelmingly demonstrated the United States as a Christian nation. A study conducted by Donald Lutz at the University of Houston found that of all the writings and speeches of America's founding fathers, the Bible was the most frequently cited source by far. Few know that at one point in our history, over 2,000 people per week were attending church inside the U.S. Capitol, and the Latin inscription on the aluminum capstone at the peak of the Washington Monument says, Laus Deo, which means glory to God. This might leave some to ask, how is this possible? Isn't there a separation between church and state? That question, in and of itself, shows just how far we've drifted from our founding principles. The First Amendment to the Constitution was never meant to protect the state from the church. Quite the contrary, it was meant to protect the church from intrusion by the state. Last week, Friday, the Montana Senate Judiciary Committee heard Senate Bill 114, a bill to provide for the display of the Ten Commandments inside Montana's public school buildings and classrooms. The bill mirrors a similar bill enacted last year by the state of Louisiana. Displays of the Ten Commandments have long been the target of litigation, and the courts have come down on both sides of the issue. The big question is, can we remain a nation for very long if we forget the origins of our founding? Montana Family Foundation Director of Grassroots Development, Patrick Webb, testified in favor of the bill and walked the committee through the vital role that the Bible played in the writing of our Constitution. Many of the freedoms and protections that we enjoy today are directly attributable to biblical concepts, something that was so important to our ancestors that there are currently over 50 images of the Ten Commandments inside the chamber of the U.S. Supreme Court. Please join us tomorrow morning at 7:30 a.m. in the Capitol Rotunda for the Governor's Prayer event.
All right,
praying for God's
right
guidance
thank
and direction.
Thank you so much for that report. We got to hit the hard break here, but thanks for that great report, Jeff Lasloffy, as always.
Here's a look at your Montana weather for Billings and Bozeman. With cloudy skies and areas of light snow around the region today, accumulations generally staying at an inch or less. High temperature readings will range from near 20 in Bozeman to around 8 above in Billings. For tonight, we can expect more light snow showers with a 1 to 3 inch accumulation. Lows near 0 in Billings, near 10 in Bozeman. That's a look at your Montana weather on Montana Talks. I'm meteorologist Paul Trombley.
Fox rocks.
I'm Monica DeLuca.
St. Texas. Ain't no hold 'em.
Beyonce taking home the top award at the Grammys. Her album, Cowboy Carter, winning Album of the Year. Beyonce is both the most awarded and nominated artist in Grammys history.
Oopsie, made a oopsie.
Doechii also making Grammys history as only the third woman to win an award for Best Rap Album.
They not like us. They not like us. They not like us.
Kendrick Lamar's diss track, Not Like Us, earning a total of 5 wins. First Song of the Year, Record of the Year, Best Rap Song, Best Rap Performance, and Best Music Video. This comes a week before Kendrick is set to headline the Super Bowl halftime show. Chappell Roan was crowned Best New Artist and performed her hit Pink Pony Club during the award show. That's Fox Rocks on Fox News.
Not completing high school is more of a social thing than it was an academic thing. Even though all these years have passed, I still had that longing to have my diploma.
At age 30, Carissa finished her high school diploma.
If you're even considering getting your high school diploma, you can do it.
No one gets a diploma alone. If you're thinking of finishing your high school diploma, you have help. Find free adult education classes near you at finishyourdiploma.org. That's finishyourdiploma.org. Brought to you by the Dollar General Literacy Foundation and the Ad Council.
This is where Montana talks. Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Yeah, look at all the liberal media and the liberal commenters and the never Trumpers on the Montana Politics hashtag on X yesterday. All their sensational news coverage, all their sensational tweets. You think they would have learned in the last 8 years how this ends up playing out? You think they would have learned by now, but yet, nope, they keep running with hoax after hoax after hoax, false narrative after false narrative after false narrative. Jimmy Failla, he's the stand-up comedian, the former New York City cab driver. He's got the Saturday Night Show on Fox News. By the way, his first ever radio interview after launching his Fox show right here on Montana Talks. I didn't even know that. We were having a cigar. We were having a Tatanka cigar with Jimmy Failla at the Capital Club Cigar Lounge in Helena, and after he did his comedy show, and he told me that story. I was like, man, that's pretty cool, and even cooler that he remembers that. But Jimmy Failla. So, you know, yesterday or in the morning, you saw the media, liberal media, freaking out. It's going to be a trade war with Mexico and Canada. And then by yesterday afternoon, all of a sudden, Mexico's caving. They're going to put 10,000 troops at the border. Oh, all of a sudden, Canada is caving. And they're going to spend $1.3 billion enhancing border security on our northern border and likely more. Listen to what Jimmy Failla had to say via X. Mexico's president just folded on the tariffs. This is what happens when you bring an avocado to a gunfight. This is what happens when you bring an avocado to a gunfight. Wasn't that classic? Let's see. Senator John Kennedy out of Louisiana. It was great to see him here in Montana. I think he made a couple of trips out to Montana last year during the 2024 elections. Got a chance to meet him along with Montana's newly elected Senator Tim Sheehy. Here's what Senator John Kennedy had to say on Fox News, talking about Elon Musk and Doge and what they're doing to trim this, you know, $1 trillion-plus deficit that's facing our country every single year, that's now amassed over $36 trillion in debt.
Here now, Senator Kennedy, Louisiana.
Let me say first, Sean, that it's kind of cool having a president again. You can't make an omelet without breaking some eggs. Now, President Trump ran for office saying, I'm going to review every single penny in the federal budget. Now, how are you going to review the spending in the federal budget without reviewing the spending? And that's what Mr. Musk is doing. Now, many of my Democratic colleagues and some of the tofu-eating Wokarati at the USAID are screaming like they're part of a prison riot because they don't want us reviewing the spending. But that's all Mr. Musk is doing, and he's finding some pretty interesting stuff. To my friends who are upset, I would say with respect, You know, call somebody who cares. Yeah, they better get used to this. It's USAID today. It's going to be Department of Education tomorrow. And really, here's what's going on. For 4 years under President Biden, the people in charge ask one simple question. Who needs to pay more in taxes? Who needs to pay more in taxes? Well, that's not the question that the Republicans and President Trump are going to ask. Our question is, what the hell happened to the money? And that's all that's going on.
Yeah, great point. I love that line that he opened up with Sean Hannity last night. You can't make an omelet without cracking some eggs. And boy, are these crackpots in the Democrat Party freaking out over the U.S. Agency for International Development, as Stephen Miller pointed out. Not the U.S. Agency for Montana Development, for Butte Development, for Crow Agency Development. No, the U.S. Agency for International Development. That's what the Democrats and their backers in the liberal mob media are freaking out about. Speaking of the liberal media, Montana's Senator Tim Sheehy wasn't afraid to go make the case on CNN. He said this in a tweet yesterday. The far left pearl clutching over DOGE's efforts misses the point. This is what the American people voted for. Our government has been in a fiscal mess for years. Elon Musk and President Trump are restoring efficiency and accountability.
Well, I think we've seen that pretty much in the Biden years. We had a tremendous amount of influence from the American left-wing donors. We saw it in the Obama years. I mean, this is how modern-day politics is working. The reality is the DOGE effort has been highly approved by Americans. Our own government accountability officer, the own GAO of our own government, has said that our own government, ourselves essentially, is making up to $500 billion a year in faulty payments. Payments to the wrong people in the wrong amount, to the wrong account. They could be fraudulent. They could just be wrong going into the ether. $500 billion a year. And we don't think that when our own government tells us that, when our own DOD can't pass an audit, it's about time we do some very serious forensic introspection to figure out how we can be better stewards of our taxpayer dollars. That's what's going on here. And the fact that we have the most successful businessman, arguably one of the smartest men in the world, doing it for free, I think it's a pretty good deal for the American people.
That's a good point. Elon Musk is working for us for free to save us money, to save our money. Governor Greg Gianforte here in Montana donates his salary to good charities and good causes every year, working for free and giving us our money back and saving our money at the state level. President Donald J. Trump working for us, working for free, donates his salary. Now, obviously, all three of those individuals had the previous success in the private sector to have that ability to do that. But it's a point worth making. Tim Sheehy's donating his salary. I almost forgot about that one, too.
It's February 4th, and this is your Fox Daily Snapshot. Today is World Cancer Day. Use this day to raise awareness about prevention, detection, and treatment of cancer. Also on this date, Fleetwood Mac releases their 11th studio album, Rumors, in 1977. It wins the Grammy for Album of the Year. In 1991, baseball's all-time hits leader Pete Rose was banned from baseball's Hall of Fame as the organization's board unanimously voted 12-0 to place Rose on the permanently ineligible list. The ban stemmed from Rose's playing days, where it was discovered he committed the cardinal sin of betting on baseball. Mark Zuckerberg launches Facebook from his Harvard dormitory in 2004. If it's your birthday today, you share with civil rights icon Rosa Parks, born in 1913. I'm CJ Papa. That's your Fox Daily Snapshot.
This is the Montana Economic Minute.
The quietly widening gap between the U.S. economy and the economies of other Western democracies is becoming harder to ignore. That's because the central banks who manage their respective economies are moving in opposite directions. The European Central Bank cut rates for the fifth consecutive time, citing economic weakness. Just the day before, its U.S. counterpart, the Federal Reserve, left interest rates unchanged. There's a concept used in monetary policy, the neutral interest rate, the rate that neither stimulates or restricts the economy. The Fed thinks that's about where we are right now. The Europeans are still lowering rates to find it. That's a pretty big difference between economies that used to be on the same page. Before we stick our chests out to boast over this, we should remember one thing. Congress and the President have poured trillions of debt-financed government spending into our economy. So it's less surprising that we're surging ahead. Yet the dynamism of the American economy since COVID has clearly opened up some space between the big economies around the world. I'm Patrick Barkey.
Brought to you by the University of Montana Bureau of Business and Economic Research.
This is where Montana talks ag with Lane Nordlund.
Today we're reporting from San Antonio, Texas at CattleCon 2025. Cattle producers from across Montana and the nation gathered here this week to set direction for the future of the cattle industry and take in educational sessions and help advance the future of the livestock business. But one of the big topics that producers are discussing are the tariffs President Trump has placed on trading partners. And just yesterday, President Donald Trump announced he is pausing new tariffs on Mexico for 1 month after Mexico agreed to deploy 10,000 National Guard troops to curb drug trafficking. Reuters reports the U.S. is also pledging to combat arms smuggling into Mexico. Trump and Mexican President Claudia Sheinbaum will use the month to negotiate further. Tariffs on Canada and China are still set to take effect, with Canada planning retaliation imposing tariffs on $30 billion worth of U.S. products starting tomorrow. The list includes a wide range of ag goods such as poultry, pork, dairy, grains, sugar, chocolate, pasta, fruits, vegetables, soups, alcoholic beverages, tobacco, and wood products, along with animal feed supplements and harvesting equipment. Beef, corn, and soybeans were excluded from those tariffs. China has vowed to challenge the tariffs at the WTO. That's a look at your ag news for today. I'm Lane Nordlund.
This is where Montana talks. Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
All right. I think earlier this morning I told you there, if you're in the Billings Heights this morning, if you're in the Billings Heights, there was a shooting suspect actively shooting outside of a residence in the Billings Heights near Lake Elmo. And so that led to a standoff with law enforcement, SWAT, and other negotiators on the scene. I've got an update on that incident. I'll get to that here in just a second. You know, but first, when we talk about Doge and what Elon Musk is doing here, really what they're doing is they're trying to save your money. They're trying to save you money with all the debt facing this country right now. I know a lot of people, maybe you'd like to, you know, get into a new house, maybe upgrade to a bigger house or something like that. But you're like, man, it's just too expensive right now. So, hey, maybe you don't want to buy a new house or get into a new house, but you want to improve your space that you've got already. Well, let me tell you about YHIC, your home improvement company. You can transform your space, get up to 30% off on a bathroom remodel. Imagine turning your bathroom into a spa-like retreat. Well, you can do it right now with easy financing, no money down, no interest, no payments until 2026. So it's a great opportunity for you to get that bathroom remodel that you've always been wanting and just make your home more homey, more comfortable, you know, nicer. Maybe, you know, just give it that update that you've been wanting all these years. Call 406-948-2836 today to schedule your free in-home consultation. They can do bathroom remodels. They do windows, both if you want. This is a limited time offer you don't want to miss. Again, get up to 30% off on a bathroom remodel. Easy financing, no money down, no interest, and no payments until 2026. Call 406-948-2836 or go to YHIC.com to find out more about YHIC, your home improvement company. Okay, back to the update here for those of you in the Billings Heights. So I mentioned earlier this morning the Billings Police Department put out an update that they had a suspect actively shooting outside of a residence. Where did I put that update that I shared earlier? Anyway, they had a suspect actively shooting outside that residence, and so SWAT was on the scene. They had negotiators on the scene. They were encouraging people to basically shelter in place. Right now, we've got an update from the Billings Police. They say this: we have coordinated with School District 2. There are no issues with bus stops on Lake Elmo Drive. The school buses will run as normal. The incident is still ongoing. But none of the schools appear to be affected by this ongoing incident. Lake Elmo and Maine are open for travel, but Jerry Lane and Jackie are closed, so please avoid that area. So it's the 400 block of Jerry where this incident is still ongoing. Okay, 406-294-0970 is the number for you. If you got something you want to talk about here on Montana Talks, we've got a great guest joining us here around 7:40 this morning. And then John Jackson, the Joker from X, joining us in the 8 o'clock hour of the show. You know, one thing we've been talking about, we've talked about this with the Joker, John Jackson. We've talked about this with our friend David Noble. It's the violence of action. All of the incredible things that the Trump administration is doing in just their first 2 weeks in office. Or as Caroline Levitt puts it, so much winning. The legacy media can't keep up.
There is so much good news, so much winning out of the Trump White House right now that the mainstream legacy media can't keep up with it, because President Trump is signing executive order after executive order, delivering on promise after promise, and implementing fundamental change of our bloated bureaucracy and our corrupt government here in Washington, D.C. He was given a once-in-a-generation mandate by the American people to govern and to fundamentally transform Washington, and that's exactly what he is doing. And we finally, after 4 years of chaos and mayhem and apologizing for America, have a president again in the Oval Office who is standing up for America. And this is what it looks like when you have a leader of our great nation who uses the leverage of the United States, who understands that since our nation's founding, we have been viewed as that shining light on the hill. We have been viewed, rightfully so, as the best, proudest country in the world. And President Trump is not afraid to say that or to use that for the American people's benefit. And that's why you have seen so many countries around the world in just a matter of 2 weeks cave to President Trump's demands. In the past 24 hours, you have Canada and Mexico agreeing to help secure our southern and northern borders. And these tariffs that President Trump threatened to impose on both Canada and Mexico, and they were signed, sealed, deliver, I may add, those were retaliatory tariffs for the last 4 years of treatment by Canada and Mexico of our nation. They have allowed an unprecedented wave of illegal deadly drugs and illegal criminals on our territorial borders, and President Trump said, enough is enough.
All right, back in 60s, Sean in Shelby. Sean says this on our Montana Talks app. Aaron, I totally agree with your take on a potential tariff trade war with Canada and Mexico, but with one reservation. Mexico especially has promised to restrict and control the cartels before and have never followed through. I want receipts and sustained proof. That's from Sean in Shelby. The main thing that Trump intended to accomplish and did accomplish in his first term with Mexico when he threatened tariffs back then, because remember, we've seen this before, right? And we saw how it played out, is he wanted to help stop this invasion on our southern border. And so that's what he fought for, the Remain in Mexico program. So all these people that were claiming in quotes, claiming asylum. Well, if you're claiming asylum and you're claiming, well, so dangerous in my home country, that's why I have to flee to the United States. Well, why do you have to come to the United States? Why can't you just go to another country? And so you're supposed to stop in another country, and then you can claim asylum from there. You don't have to do it from actually being on the ground in the United States. And so when Trump threatened tariffs in the first administration, that's what he was focused on, was getting the Remain in Mexico program in place. And it worked. In fact, even though him and former Vice President Mike Pence have had a falling out, last summer I got to do a fireside chat with Vice President Pence in Billings with a great group out at Highlands. And it was fascinating when he told this story about how here he is talking talking to the Mexican government at the time. And meanwhile, or was he sitting down? Yeah, anyway, he told this great story about how he's telling the Mexican government, look, Donald Trump is serious. He is going to institute these tariffs. In 2 weeks, it's going to be this number. In a month, it's going to be this number. And if you still haven't fixed it, it's going to go up even higher. And President Trump was live tweeting his exact response to the Mexican government. Anyway, it was such a great story former Vice President Mike Pence had shared back then. And so, again, we've seen how this plays out. And yet, look at the way all of the never-Trumpers on X and other social media platforms and the folks in the legacy media, you know, sit here and try to act like we haven't seen this play out before. Politico, in Politico's playbook this morning, has a roll-up of some headlines here. The UK Daily Mail, Canada's Justin Trudeau caves to Trump's tariff threat. Speaker Mike Johnson says President Trump knows how to get results. Senator Tommy Tuberville out of Alabama says this is what happens when you put a leader and a master deal maker in the White House. House GOP Conference Chair Lisa McClain says the days of America getting walked all over are gone. All right, what about this woke play that they wanted to push on the Whitehall High School here in Montana? School officials said, no, we'll talk to them next.
This is where Montana talks. Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Yeah, so the Montana Free Press is definitely a very liberal-leaning publication. I mean, you can pick up on the bias. I think they're trying to do real journalism. I think they're trying to do fair journalism, but you can tell it's definitely a biased liberal publication. I mean, they very clearly showed their cards in the 2024 election. With biased coverage in support of liberal Senator John Tester, and then biased coverage against the newly elected Navy SEAL, U.S. Senator Tim Sheehy. But anyway, I saw that they have an article here, and then you've got the radical left-wing ACLU piling on here. And so they've written some, at least one, maybe two stories here about how what looks like a liberal drama teacher, who also happens to be a liberal newspaper publisher in Whitehall, Montana, who wants to push this woke agenda, not only on the kids in the school, but wants to push the woke agenda not only the kids in the play, but wants to push this woke agenda in the community. But why is it that, you know, when it comes to the LGBTQ agenda, when it comes to the anti-Christian agenda, why is it that these folks always want to target, we know the answer to this, but I throw the question out nonetheless, they always want to target kids with this stuff? Well, thankfully, it looks like the, you know, school officials in Whitehall, in Whitehall Public Schools, are saying, hey, look, this just doesn't seem to be appropriate for our students, for our kids, and not to mention all the other woke themes that are being pushed in this. But when it brings up the topic of suicide, this was a quote from the superintendent. There was no message of hope, resilience, or how to ask for help in the play. And so here they are pushing suicidal themes without you know, giving kids any sort of a message to try to combat suicide, right? Anyway, that's what I've gathered from, you know, taking a quick glance at the script of the play myself and reading some of the coverage from some of the liberal-leaning media here. But we've now got the superintendent from Whitehall on the phone lines with us right now, Hannah Neeskens. Great to have you on the show. Thanks for joining us this morning.
Thanks for having us. And I'm actually joined by our high school principal, Jason Slater, as well. So we're both here this morning.
Hey, well, very cool. Great to have both of you. You know, so often we hear about how kids are being targeted with this, you know, kind of woke agenda that a lot of parents would just be shocked and outraged by. And, you know, we hear the bad stories out of our public schools. So when there's good stories of school officials making the right call,
We need to highlight that too. So I'm glad you're able to join us and talk about this. What do you want to tell our listeners across Montana?
Yeah, so this started all a month ago, and our Thespian director, Ms. Pullman, emailed our administration team requesting that her after-school drama club, which is a school drama club, perform the play I Don't Want to Talk About It for our students in grades 8 through 12. And she characterized it in her email that the play was about family, dating, social stigmas, bullying, and death. And, of course, upon hearing what the themes were, I immediately replied that, you know, those were sensitive topics and would require the review of our high school principal, Jason Slater. I had Senate Bill 99 issues at the time, especially because of the relationships piece. The dating piece. And so anyhow, I kicked it over to him, and I'll let him kind of describe where he took it from there and then what ensued.
Good morning, Aaron. My name's Jason Slater. Thank you so much for the opportunity to speak today. So like Ms. Neeskin said, she, you know, said we need to review this, and we wanted to support drama and theater in our schools, and we were going to provide an assembly. I sat down and started reviewing the script, and in short order, I just red flag after red flag. I was like, no, this is not appropriate for our school audience. So I said, no, I said, we're not going to do this. It's just not appropriate. I mean, themes included were sex, suicide, spirituality, different things that we're not going to expose our general school population to for a 45-minute play. It's just immediately. So I said no, and that's kind of things went from there. I mean, anybody can appeal a principal's decision, but principals serve as a front line in safeguarding our kids, and just wasn't appropriate.
Yeah, and then ultimately it was kicked back to me. She appealed it to me. And I reiterated that Jason's decision was correct and this was not appropriate for our school audience. But beyond that, we weren't going to brand this or endorse it as the school play to our community. And to be honest, since then, she just hasn't taken no for the answer. I mean, she's made sure to keep this in the forefront of local media. She is the owner and editor of the local Whitehall Ledger. And she's also solicited some reporters from surrounding news papers, including the Boulder Monitor and the Montana Free Press, to basically run a smear campaign on our decision regarding the content that's appropriate for students.
Yeah, and then you got the left-wing ACLU jumping on board here. It's just amazing to me how these people, they just don't get it. They just don't understand, and especially the suicide piece. Like, okay, so you have this appearance where they're, okay, yeah, let's talk about suicide, but let's not just talk about it without some solutions or some ways to discourage that from happening. But it just seems, because if you don't do that, it just seems like you're planting thoughts and encouraging a behavior, whether that's the intent or not here. But it's just amazing to people that these people, like, they just don't get it. You know, the people of Montana have been very clear. I think parents across the state have been very clear that, like, hey, we're drawing the line when it comes to kids, and stop pushing these woke radical themes on kids. You may not be a person of faith. You may not be Christian or Jewish or whatever, but you don't need to, you know, try to attack or undermine those who are in their kids. And you may support the LGBTQ, RST, whatever it is, agenda, but that doesn't mean you need to shove it down the throats of kids and your community and abuse taxpayer-funded public schools to do so. And so, well, I'm so glad that we can provide the microphone for you to be able to respond, because very clearly there is an orchestrated effort by others to give a lot of ink and microphone time to the people that want to undermine what you're doing to look out for your kids.
Yeah, and this really isn't, you know, about shutting down artistic expression. I mean, it's been painted like that as well. And, you know, we think what's great that we have a drama club, which is an opportunity for students to express their creativity and collaborate on performances. But this is really a matter of the content of the performance. And it's about making sure our school's events reflect good judgment and commitment to student well-being. A 40-minute play is not the right way to tackle serious issues in a school setting. This isn't about shutting down conversations about mental health. There's appropriate ways to do that in school. It's about ensuring that the conversations happen in a safe way, a structured way, an effective way that truly supports students, not through some brief, unmoderated student performance.
Yeah, and by the way, I would add, if the drama teacher or, you know, who is also the newspaper, you know, publisher wants to join us on the radio, I mean, she's welcome to join us as well. It's kind of like the other day we had a Flathead County Commissioner talking about the warming center in Kalispell and how the warming center wants to respond. And so, yeah, everybody's got that opportunity here. But, yeah, it does seem like, based off of everything I'm reading here, that she's pretending to not use her newspaper to push this personal agenda of her personal dispute with you guys. But yet, here she is sharing the Free Press article that's biased in her behavior. Here she is ginning up other newspapers to do the same.
Absolutely. There is an article that was just published in the Boulder Monitor over the weekend. And it's actually one where she had solicited the Boulder Monitor and the Montana Free Press to actually shadow our students on a school trip to the Thespian Festival to further solidify her argument that this was appropriate content for kids in Whitehall. You know, obviously the audience at the Montana Thespian Festival is different. That's an event where you go to present some sort of drama or comedy in order to try to win awards. And she actually had those newspapers shadowing our students. This is against common practice at the Thespian Festival. In fact, Ms. Pullman told us this is totally non-standard and that they don't normally allow press at the festival. But without parental consent, without district consent or following...
Interesting. Hold that thought. Anything to push this agenda, of course. So hold that thought if you can. Stand by. I got to take a hard break here, but we'll come back to you right after this. I want to find out what's next in particular.
This episode is brought to you by Amazon Go. With more than 600 new items on shelves, Amazon Go makes it easy to handle whatever today has in store. Because where else can you drop off an Amazon return and pick up a freshly baked pizza for dinner? Or grab nitro cold brews for now, plus made-to-order sandwiches for later? Or find must-haves like milk and eggs alongside really wants like froyo and sushi? Stop by your newly renovated Amazon Go in Mill Creek and handle whatever today has in store.
Fox News commentary.
Target will scale back its DEI initiatives and woke customers are not happy. I'm Tommy Lahren. More next.
It's the Will King Show.
Ideological goals like climate change, green initiatives. Because attention and resources are a finite game, they are diverted. It is pulled away from the priorities that matter to citizens directly. When you pay your taxes, there are certain things you have a right to expect. Police protection, emergency response. Anything given to misplaced priorities ends up something that can hurt citizens when they need their government.
Streaming live 12 p.m. Eastern weekdays on FoxNews.com and the Fox News YouTube channel.
Next to Bud Light, Target may be one of the most outwardly woke companies of the last 10 years. From giant pride displays to junk-tucking underwear and more, Target has led the charge on all things woke. But that could all be changing, at least when it comes to the company's DEI initiatives. Following in the footsteps of countless other businesses, Target vowed to end its DEI program this year. Not only that, Target will also discontinue its Racial Equity Action and Change initiative that sought to invest millions in black-owned businesses exclusively. So while it might come as a major shock to the system for some on the woke side, all Target is really doing here is getting back to common sense and merit-based practices. Target has already taken heat for this return to normalcy, with some vowing to boycott the retailer. Odd that some don't want to patron an establishment that simply returns to the core value of product over activism. I'm Tommy Lahren, and you can watch my show, Tommy Lahren is Fearless, at Outkick.com.
Here's a look at your Montana weather for Billings and Bozeman. With cloudy skies and areas of light snow around the region today, accumulations generally staying at an inch or less. High temperature readings will range from near 20 in Bozeman to around 8 above in Billings. For tonight, we can expect more light snow showers with a 1 to 3 inch accumulation. Lows near 0 in Billings, near 10 in Bozeman. That's a look at your Montana weather on Montana Talks. I'm meteorologist Paul Trombley.
Is there some producer pushback to a new beef checkoff being considered in Helena, Montana? That's part of what we talked about on Friday's show. We got a nice phone call from Jeff Pattison out of Northeast Montana. Plus, Norma Ashby-Smith, she called in and told us the upcoming Charlie Russell art auction is going to be bigger than ever before. That's why we love Open Phones Friday. But hey, we keep or visit YHIC.com to learn more. Your home improvement company. Quality you can trust, savings you can't ignore.
This is where Montana talks. Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
All right. Thanks to Principal Jason Slater and Superintendent Hannah Neeskens with the Whitehall Schools for sticking around here for the final few minutes of the hour. We got just a quick few minutes left, but I know a lot of people are wondering, okay, well, what's next here? The left-wing ACLU trying to go after you. What's happening with this drama teacher and newspaper publisher who's trying to, you know, push this on the kids? Sean and Shelby said, fire her. But Superintendent Neeskens, it sounds like she's already shown herself to the door. So, yeah, what's next? Big picture.
Right. So just to clarify, she's not a teacher. She's an after-school drama advisor. She received a small stipend for doing an after-school drama club. She's not a licensed teacher. She doesn't teach during the school day. So there's that first. She did characterize herself as a teacher in our school board meeting, but that is inaccurate. So she ultimately did end up taking the group of drama kids with their parents' permission to go on the trip to a thespian festival in Missoula where they presented this play to that select audience for the Thespian Festival. Along the way, however, she encouraged the media outlets, the Boulder Monitor and the Montana Free Press, to shadow our students throughout the festival, which was actually against festival practices. They don't normally allow any press into the festival. She did not receive school or district consent to do so, because that is required in order to have such an invasion of students' privacy during an event where they're actually shadowed, interviewed. A reporter followed them back to the Airbnb where they were staying to actually interview students. Definitely against our school policy, as far as there has to be parental consent for the media to have such a high level of access to students. It violates FERPA laws, federal laws, state laws against parental consent, and obviously our school district policies, and not a practice we want to encourage where the media is just following students around to further gain information and fodder for a newspaper. So as a result of that, we did conduct an investigation into numerous things that had occurred on that trip, and the drama director, Liz Pullman, resigned as part of that investigative process.
Interesting. Yeah, and then Principal Jason Slater, yeah, what's next? Is the ACLU going to try to go after you guys? You also made a great point. I know we've only got a minute and a half or so left to go here before we run out of time, but you made a great point. You know, if people think a ball was dropped here, you described this. No, this was an interception. We intercepted this thing before it went public, because, yeah, there would have been outrage if this thing moved forward by parents and more, right?
Absolutely. I mean, moving forward, what we're going to do is keep the main thing the main thing. I do view this, and I'm so thankful that I did review the play, you know, and then we did put that we didn't have a school assembly. My local community and kids, I really believe 90% of them would not be in favor of this. So I feel like a ball was intercepted. One thing we're going to do is we're going to keep the main thing the main thing, and that's the kids. We are proud of our kids, all of our kids. Some of this has been spun like we're not. That couldn't be farther from the truth. We are proud of our kids. This is about what's appropriate audience, when and where you're at. This is not appropriate for our general school audience in a school assembly. This is, eighth graders are 13 years old. Absolutely not. So as far as the ACLU legal authority and precedent, 1988 U.S. Supreme Court case Hazelwood School District versus Comer makes it clear schools do have a legal right to restrict content that is inconsistent with their educational mission. This isn't a free speech issue. It's an issue of responsible educational oversight. And the answer, administration said no.
Well, great job by both of you. Great job by both of you. Thanks for joining us to talk about this. Greatly appreciate your efforts. And Superintendent Neeskens, congrats. I heard you're on the Board of Public Ed at the statewide level now as well. So that sounds like we got another good hand on the board there as well. Thanks to both of you for your time. Sorry we're out of time right now. Keep us posted on any developments on this front. We appreciate you being with us. John Jackson, the Joker from X, in the house right after this.
This is the Montana Economic Minute.
The quietly widening gap between the U.S. economy and the economies of other Western democracies is becoming harder to ignore. That's because the central banks who manage their respective economies are moving in opposite directions. The European Central Bank cut rates for the fifth consecutive time, citing economic weakness. Just the day before, its U.S. counterpart, the Federal Reserve, left interest rates unchanged. There's a concept used in monetary policy, the neutral interest rate, the rate that neither stimulates or restricts the economy. The Fed thinks that's about where we are right now. The Europeans are still lowering rates to find it. That's a pretty big difference between economies that used to be on the same page. Before we stick our chests out to boast over this, we should remember one thing. Congress and the President have poured trillions of debt-financed government spending into our economy. So it's less surprising that we're surging ahead. Yet the dynamism of the American economy since COVID has clearly opened up some space between the big economies around the world. I'm Patrick Barkey.
Brought to you by the University of Montana Bureau of Business and Economic Research.